Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeremy. I'm on staff here at H2O, and I guess I'll start with a fun fact. I'm also married to one of your pastors, Kathy, who got to share with us from Daniel last week, and I guess it's at least a fun fact for me because she's a lot of fun. So, to what do we compare the book of Haggai to? Honestly, the best thing that I could come up with is, well, Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. It was actually a book originally titled Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, written back in 1964. It was then made into the movie Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory in 1971, and then probably around the time most of you were born in 2005, it was remade with the original title Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. There's actually even another movie, Wonka, coming out in just a few weeks. And the reason I thought this was such an apt comparison is because there's a candy Wonka makes that shows up throughout the book and movies called three-course dinner gum. And as the name implies, each stick of gum contains an entire three-course meal, starting with tomato soup, then roast beef and a baked potato, and finishing with blueberry pie. And you got to see Violet and what happened when she chewed the gum. And the book of Haggai, or should I actually say the page of Haggai, since it's literally only two chapters that fit on a single page in the Bible, is in so many ways like a whole pack of Willy Wonka three-course meal gum. There are just so many truths about the kingdom of God jam-packed into this one little slice of scripture. Even the fact that the gum shows up consistently over decades teaches us about truth itself, in that truth is above all known by consistency. And although there's just mouthful after mouthful of things we can learn about the kingdom of God from just these two short chapters, we're going to focus on just three important truths that show up. Each of these truths has withstood the test of time and are taught all throughout Scripture, both long before and long after Haggai's time, including in many ways by Jesus himself. So we can trust that knowing and acting upon them can help us walk out our faith and our salvation today. So with Thanksgiving coming up, let's do a little spiritually delicious feasting on God's Word, and open our hearts and minds to how the Holy Spirit wants to guide us this morning. Let's pray and ask for just that. Lord, sanctify us in truth. Your Word is truth, and today we are here to learn and be transformed by your Holy Spirit. We submit and commit this time to you. Amen. All right, so let's begin with our first course here by going back to the verses we just read. And take a look at on the screen and see what sticks out to you. For me, it's the dissatisfaction being described in verses 6 to 9, the picture being painted by God here. Othniel taught us a couple weeks ago about the Hebrew word hevel that is used throughout the book of Ecclesiastes and essentially translates to vapor. And here we see that practically being described in the lives of the Israelites, don't we? Here now, but poof, gone, just like vapor. Look at it. They sow much, but harvest little. Poof. Gone. They eat, but don't get satisfied. Poof. Gone. And they earn wages just to put them in bags with holes. Poof. Gone. Have you ever felt dissatisfied like this? Like you've been putting all this effort into something and yet never feeling content, never feeling satisfied, like all your efforts are just vapor. I remember college in particular can feel like this. Like there's always a next test, always a next assignment, always a next whatever. Never a seeming time for contentment. And if not college, how about Netflix? Ever wonder why binge watching shows became so popular? Because one is never enough, nor is two or three or four or more. Now, I didn't say it, but the Lord says here, consider your ways. Why does this happen? And in verse 9, he says, because of my house, my temple that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house, declares the Lord of hosts. So for historical context, the temple was for generations the central, most preeminent place of worship for the Israelites. After being taken captive and exiled for failing to honor God in his rightful place, the Lord was calling the people of Haggai's time to rebuild the temple so he could once again dwell within their midst. He was calling them to learn from the consequences of their unfaithfulness and dishonor and rebuild his house, so his very spirit, the Holy Spirit, could once again dwell among his people, and he could bless them. So God, as he does sometimes, answers their considerations for them, and plainly states that the people were experiencing vapor because they were failing to put God first in his rightful place and priority in their lives. Even though they were putting tremendous effort into building their own houses, since they were neglecting the temple, they only ended up basically cold, broke, and hungry. Which brings us to our first delectable truth for today. Tending to God needs to be the top priority in our lives. And there are consequences when he's not. We experience vapor and want when we put ourselves and our priorities over God's. We experience merely temporary satisfaction that readily wisps away, leaving us wanting once again. Do any of you feel like this? Are any of you putting in a ton of effort into school and building careers and building resumes and working towards the future, only to feel lacking, empty, and discontented? I know I am. And I do. And it's really struck me when Haggai says, consider your ways, declares the Lord of hosts. And more than consider your ways, consider what Jesus taught. Mark 8:35 says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Matthew 6:31-33 says, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And some pretty cool things happen when we put God first too. Is anyone familiar with when Jesus feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Or when he fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few small fish, both times having baskets and baskets of leftovers? If there ever was an opposite of vapor, that's what we see in those stories. This is it, and just one of the beautiful ways of the kingdom. When we seek first the kingdom of God, when we give whatever we have to God first, he can do amazing things with it. And this is a question Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16. He said, do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered. And as Proverbs 11 puts it, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. So how do we do that? Thankfully, it starts by just asking. And we can do it right now. Maybe for the first time, or maybe just as a reminder. And you can say it with your eyes open or your eyes closed. Simply say, Jesus, I'm sorry for putting myself and my priorities above seeking you and your kingdom. I'm sorry for trying to protect my life rather than trusting to give it to you. And I ask for you to fill me with your Spirit to help me honor you in your rightful place as Lord. And it's that simple, because God wants to help you with that. All right. That was a delicious way to start. Right? Come on, love. All right. Stay with me. And before you go into a food coma, and because I just told everyone they could close their eyes, let's do a little exercise. All right? Everyone who's still awake, raise your hand, finger up. Okay? Point to your head. Your chest, little circles around the belly. And let's get a flex, everyone. All right. Strong. I like it. I like it. Now comes the question. Does anyone know the place in the world today where the newest temple of the Lord is being built? It's actually under construction right now as we speak. Okay. Don't worry, you actually all already just answered it. Ever since Jesus died on the cross and rose again by sending the Holy Spirit during Pentecost, the temple of the Lord has been being built within the minds, hearts, souls, and strength of believers inside of each of us. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you?" Ephesians 2 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." In other words, God's new house, his temple, is the people of God. Which brings us to our second timeless truth. "I am with you," declares the Lord. I am with you. Not surprisingly, as we labor and work to grow in our faith today, the Lord's message to the people of Haggai's time was the same consistent truth. Verse 13 says, "Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, 'I am with you,' declares the Lord." And all right, I'll confess, I don't really want to say it, but I'm going to say something anyway, since we probably already all know it's there. Brace yourself if you have to. Hold on to your chair or your neighbor. But here it goes. Loneliness. There you go. All right, I said it. I think I'm okay. Y'all okay? I, of course, only kind of kid. But I put it this way because loneliness is devastating, and we've all faced it. Some of us may even be feeling it right now, since some of the loneliest places can be within crowds. And believe it or not, devastating isn't even my word to describe it. I got that word from the U.S. Surgeon General in an official release he put out earlier this year. It says that the new Surgeon General advisory raises alarm about the devastating impact of the epidemic of loneliness and isolation in the United States, May 3rd of this year. Today, United States Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy released a new Surgeon General advisory calling attention to the public health crisis of loneliness, isolation, and lack of connection in our country. Even before the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, approximately half of U.S. adults reported experiencing measurable levels of loneliness. Disconnection fundamentally affects our mental, physical, and societal health. In fact, loneliness and isolation increase the risk for individuals to develop mental health challenges in their lives, and lacking connection can increase the risk for premature death to levels comparable to smoking daily. Wow. Comparable to smoking daily. Crazy, right? But what might be just as amazing and just as crazy is that all throughout Scripture, the Lord's go-to phrase during times of trouble and struggle, anytime he wants to encourage us or help us face our fears, essentially, if God had a catchphrase, this would be it. I am with you. Take a look. I did just a quick study and found 44 verses where God tells us one way or another he's with us. You want to snap a quick pic with your phone? These are great verses to spend a little bit of time coming on. But just amazing, from beginning to end, how important it was. And going back to Haggai, we see this truth in action. Yet, in verse 4, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not." Remembering and practicing God's presence with us always, that he is building a home in our hearts and a temple out of the community of believers coming together, is literally and practically the cure for the loneliness epidemic the Surgeon General is talking about. It's how and why the church is meant to be salt and light of the world. And also why Jesus in John 13 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." God is the very author of deep intimacy and connection, both of which have the power, this is crazy, to actually and measurably, using legit brain scans, alter the way that we experience loneliness, fear, anxiety, and depression. Intimate connections with God and others can literally transform our neurophysiology and improve all these things and more. And so we see this in Haggai's too. Not brain scans, of course. They didn't have those back then, for those of you who are following. But how he brings people together in godly community. Verse 14 says, "And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God." Did you all know that every staff member of H2O has had their hearts stirred up just to be here with you today? Did you all know that every staff member has spent hundreds of hours support raising as a missionary? And that there are hundreds of people who most of you don't even know, giving thousands of dollars each month just so we can share in building this collective temple of the Lord together here at OSU. God stirred all of our hearts, just like in Haggai. And quite candidly, we hope and pray God stirs your hearts to reach out to your fellow students as well and invite them to join us in community. Maybe even for the Friendsgiving that's happening on Tuesday. An invitation is always better received when there's food involved. To invite the ones who are lonely, the ones who are struggling, and the ones who need to know that there is a God who is still with us according to the covenant he made with us in Jesus. A God whose timeless promise is, I am with you. And a Christ whose name is Emmanuel, God with us until the end of the age. And that means right now, in this very room, the Lord is here. Wow. All right. I don't know about you, but I'm getting pretty full. We still have one more course to go, and I don't see anyone who looks like they're going to pop or anyone turning blue just yet. Let me scan just to make sure. So let's push on just a little longer, and I'll just hope, you know, if you are getting a little full, you wore your Thanksgiving pants today. Let's go back to Haggai, verse 11. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered the Lord and says, so is it with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. So here's our final truth for this festive morning. No one else can have faith for you. Our faith in the temples that we build within us have to be our own. No one else can make us clean just by being around them. Even though other believers and community are absolutely crucial to our spiritual growth, we each have to make this deeply personal choice for ourselves to intimately follow Jesus. We can't just walk next to Jesse Jones and hold on to her, hoping that she'll make us clean. And I cannot emphasize enough how important the college years are for this choice. It is such a vital time in life when the choice truly has to be yours. No one else can make it for you. And just think about what the Lord was communicating through Haggai and think about your campus today. Certainly, there are plenty of things about the college lifestyle that can make you unclean. And trust me when I tell you, I know. And also that I'm not talking about contact with dead bodies. And since I have this sneaky suspicion that something already came to each of our minds when I mentioned unclean, I won't list any specifics. I will say, though, that whatever it was you thought or you might have thought of, by faith, it can be cleansed by the perfect, spotless, and clean sacrifice of Jesus, offered up in the inner temples of our hearts, minds, and souls. No matter what we might think has left a permanent stain, Scripture is absolutely adamant that the grace and sacrifice Jesus made through the cross and his resurrection was sufficient to cover it and redeem it. Jesus' grace was enough to turn scarlet and crimson as white as snow and as white as wool, and enough to remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And for those of you keeping track, the east never meets the west, north and south. Another fun fact, I'm full of them this morning. Titus 3:4 says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And so I wanted to close just by reading Psalm 23 because it helps me remember the truths that we talked about today. And it's a great psalm to memorize, probably one I've shared in my own mind thousands of times. Just listen to it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And just think about it. In each of these verses, God is in his rightful place of first, in front, shepherding, leading, and guiding. And it goes on to say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Again, we see that we can face even the shadow of death because of our second truth. God is with us always. And finally, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Because we experience very personal and rich blessings when we make our faith our own. And so, Lord, make it so. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for these truths that we can hold on to. Thank you that in this often confusing, fearful, lonely world, you have given us these simple truths to hold on to. We thank you and we bless you and we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to refine us inside our hearts and minds and the temples of our souls, as well as a community together. Lord, build us up into a temple that's glorifying to you. Amen.